Last fall, the doctors at the Lahey Clinic in Massachusetts gave Derek and Logan a list of possible outcomes, things that could happen if they went through with a liver transplant. The point of the list is clearly to cause fear, to make sure they both understand the exact gravity of the procedure.
Would you like to read them out loud?
Sure, I'll read them again. I understand that the following may happen. The liver is removed, but it is unwise to proceed with the recipient's transplant. The donor develops liver failure and requires liver transplantation after donation. The donor dies. The recipient does not do well post-transplant. The recipient rejects the liver post-transplant. The recipient develops recurrence of his or her original disease, or the recipient dies. It's only seven things.
Derek and Logan are 35 and 38 years old, and they met at a bar a decade ago. Derek was there on a blind date with someone else, and so Logan spent the first evening watching her future husband flirt with another girl. It only got better from there.
As long as it was fun, we kept seeing each other.
And then you tried to break up with me.
He didn't ask that question. He just asked how we met, not how we may have broken up.
But you did try to break up with me.
That's okay. I did.
He tried to break up with me because I asked him when his birthday was, and I think he felt like I was moving too fast.
It was also April or May when you asked me, and my birthday is in June, and my previous girlfriend, for a birthday present, sent us both on a plane to Missouri to the Pez convention, which was very nice, but it was a little over the top.
Fool me once.
Yeah.
Derek, if you didn't catch that, enjoys Pez conventions. There are hundreds of the small plastic dispensers lining the walls of his home office in Manchester. He's got them neatly arranged in a rainbow pattern. Their whole marriage feels like this. He's an engineer, and her outgoing art school background layers on top of his quiet mathematical mind. They are two seemingly happy people with their lives in order, despite this terrible thing happening inside his body.
Yeah, so he knew when we met, he'd been diagnosed maybe 2 or 3 years prior to that with primary sclerosing cholangitis, PSC, along with ulcerative colitis, which is the companion disease, because that's what everyone needs is a companion disease that's just as awful as the regular one. It's a pretty rare disease. It's an autoimmune disorder that essentially causes the bile ducts in your liver to sclerose. That's where the sclerosing part comes in. And there's something about There's something about the cholangitis that has to do with that's like how the hardening of those bile ducts. So what happens is the body is attacking the bile ducts. It causes them to sclerose or harden or get tiny. And then bile does not travel through the liver any longer. It backs up.
When it backs up, the body struggles to absorb fats and nutrients. And the hardening of the ducts eventually leads to liver failure. During the disease's course, it causes unpleasant symptoms, including fatigue, severe itching, and jaundice. Derek's skin has a yellow tint, not quite Simpson's character, but close. And his liver, as it fails, is actually growing.
I always think the thing you're going to look most forward to is the fact that this part where your liver is completely puffed out because it's so swollen, that's going to be gone. You're going to be like a washboard.
It kind of looks like I'm pregnant, but too high up. Like right underneath the rib cage, it sticks out. So it's really tough to find clothes sometimes.
Derek's swollen liver began showing signs of serious problems last year, and his doctors started discussing his three transplant options. First, he could wait on the list for a deceased organ donor. That can take years, though, during which time Derek gets sicker, which in turn moves him up the list. Second, he can move to a region of the country where the transplant list isn't as long as New England's. The last choice is a living donor. Surgeons splice out roughly half of a healthy person's liver and place that inside the sick recipient. Both halves then ideally grow back to full size. For the past few years, this is something Logan knew may be a role she could fill. But it would take months to find out if her liver was a match, and then she needed to decide if it was worth the risk. Before any decision would have to be made, Derek's name was officially added to the transplant list. That night, the two went out in mock celebration.
And we were sitting at dinner, and we were as is both of our ways, we tried to make a joke because we were both incredibly nervous and uncomfortable. And so I said, man, wouldn't it be hilarious if there was some sort of terrible school bus accident and it was filled with, you know, healthy teenagers with type B blood and their livers were all available to us. We would probably, that's how we would get the call. I don't want anyone to die so that my husband can live. I don't want that to happen. I feel good about making that joke because this is the hardest thing that I think either of us have ever had to deal with. And if I can laugh for 5 minutes because of a crass joke I make about a school bus full of kids with type B blood, then for that little moment, I feel good and I feel okay about that.
Logan is not always like this, not always the cynic. But the stress of Derek's condition brings it out in her. And the seriousness of his condition became all too clear the night the Red Sox won the World Series. We'll pick up the story there tomorrow. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman.